In Hawaii, the average hourly wage of a renter is $14.49. According to the National Low Income Housing Coalition State Housing Profile, a worker would have to make $31.54 an hour to afford a two-bedroom apartment. Big disconnect. For low-wage workers, some help comes in the form of a federal earned income tax credit. To help more, the Hawaii Appleseed Center for Law and Economic Justice has long said Hawaii's low-income workers also need a refundable state earned income tax credit. Hawaii Appleseed is again making that point in a report published this week, and Executive Director Victor Geminiani joins us now. Good morning. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
In some ways, this conversation will be very reminiscent of other conversations that we've had, because you've said for a very long time that this is happening at the federal level with the earned income tax credit. Why don't we have one in Hawaii? Anyone better able to listen now that the report is out this year?
Well, I think so, because a number of factors are coming together in our community. I mean, Bill Dorman just mentioned in the last segment that the legislature is about to open, and that's a time when we really set priorities in our state. How do we spend the precious resources and the limited resources we have? So the bottom line is there are a couple of factors that are coming together, I think, that are going to make a conversation more fertile and more relevant around earned income tax credit. The first is obviously the affordability of housing, and you mentioned that. The second, of course, is the homeless crisis that we have in our state, which is driving much of our politics in the legislature right now. In order to resolve the problems you have in affordable housing and the problems you have in terms of homelessness, you've got to do two things. The first thing you've got to do is get on the supply side of affordable housing. We all recognize that. And there's a whole variety of models that have now been introduced over the last 2 years, ADUs and micro units being two examples, that can dramatically expand the availability of housing in our state if our leaders make the right choices. But the second part of the equation is just as important. You've got to get money in the pockets of low-income wage earners so that allow them to be able to afford the incredible rents that they have to pay today.
The people who are renting right now.
Right now. The problem you have is you have a scarcity of affordable rental housing. You have 20,000 units that are necessary right now. And even given Governor Ige's significant apparent attempt to put about $100 million or more into affordable housing, you're not going to create that many real units when you take a look at what that money's going to buy. So we have a tremendous deficit we have to dig ourselves out of in terms of the housing supply. And the people that obviously are close to the edge, low-income wage earners that don't have a lot of savings and can, in fact, save because of the economics of their life, if they ever run into a problem of stress, of loss of jobs, of disability, of a fracturing in the family, of a variety of different things, they could be very easily out in the street because they just can't afford the current housing in terms of the price that goes for it. So you've got to deal with the money in the low-income wage earners' pockets. And just one thing. Statistics. Not only do we have the highest cost of living in the United States and the highest cost of shelter in the United States, we all share that burden. We also pay the lowest wages in the United States when you factor in cost of living. So low-income wage earners are confronted not only with incredibly high costs, but also very low wages that they're paid. So you've got to do something about it. And the EITC is particularly tailored to do exactly what has to be done, get more money immediately into the pockets of low-income wage earners in an efficient and effective means using tax relief.
With everything that you've just said, and we've had other conversations about this too, looking at why doesn't the state want to put this same thing in that one can get from the federal government, why? Why do you see that this seems to be still the argument and the conversation?
Well, I think people on the low side of the wage scale do not actively participate in the political process. Their voices are very seldom heard, and unfortunately, many of them don't vote, and politicians listen to votes. I'll give you a classic example that just occurred in the last legislative session, which I personally think is a tragedy. We made a decision in this legislature, the last legislative session, 215, to stop the taxes on the high rollers in the state, those that are the various wealthy in the state of Hawaii that was implemented in 2009 as a response to the recession. That's $48 million we decided to return to the various wealthy in the community. And by the way, 93% of that $48 million goes to the top 1% earners in this state. So the Democratic or the legislature made a decision for a variety of reasons, maybe good, maybe bad, to ultimately provide a tax relief, a significant tax relief to the highest rollers we have in their state. They ought to be doing the same thing for the people at the bottom, the middle class, because the lower and moderate income population in the state pays around 13 cents for every dollar they earn in taxes, primarily because of the GET. It's such a regressive tax. The people at the very top end pay about 7 cents out of every dollar, about half of what the low and moderate income people, residents pay. And by the way, we are the second to third worst state in the United States in terms of taxing people living in low and moderate wages. So I think it's time, to be frank, for the leadership to ultimately to say, not only are we going to help those in the top end of the scale, which they may or may not decide are needy, but certainly the ones that are struggling on a day-to-day basis and confront our major problem that we have to confront in the community, the ability to afford housing and the ability to avoid the streets and the cost and the family destruction that happens when someone lands in the streets from homelessness.
Victor, we talk a lot about caring for those most in need. We talk a lot about families and about the aloha spirit. We talk about a lot about those things that seem not to sync well with some of the realities that you just talked about. Are we too based in the sort of the mythological idea of how we conduct ourselves in Hawaii, and we don't really take very good care of those who are the most in need?
Well, I think we started out in the 50s and 60s, 59 when we became a state, and expanded in the 60s and 70s, with a really great record of progressivity. But over the last 30 years, we've lost it, and I think there are a lot of different reasons for that. Access, obviously, to power has been more centralized among those that have wealth. But more importantly, I think in the 60s and 70s, most of us had people that lived on the plantations and remember what it was like to be ultimately raised in poverty. And struggling if you're a low-income wage earner. I think a lot of ways our leaders have evolved from that sensitivity and understanding and support for those that are really struggling in our community and now concentrating on different priorities that may be necessary. I'm not going to suggest that the problems or the decisions we have to make are easy. They're incredibly difficult to make because our elected officials have to balance a lot of different needs and a lot of different demands and a lot of different people that are coming to them for different types of support. I would just suggest that if we're going to solve our core problems that we all acknowledge are core problems in our state, homelessness, income inequality, and the ability to survive for the low and moderate income, you've got to go to serious tax relief because that's where the money is, and that's the easiest, most efficient way you can ultimately resolve part of the problems in terms of people struggling.
By putting more money
into the pockets
of the people who most need it.
Immediately.
We'll see what happens this time around. Thanks for the report this year.
Thank you so much.
Victor Geminiani is the executive director of the Hawaii Appleseed Center for Law and Economic Justice. It has just released its report on the earned income tax credit that they are suggesting Hawaii adopt.